coming up on Encouragement Live, we know the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Does that have anything to do with how we handle our money? We'll discuss that with Roxanne Endermule of His Faithful Stewards. That's coming up tonight on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located on First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas. Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. One of the most important and prolific topics in the Bible is the subject of money. Scripture has a great deal to say about this subject. Jesus said more about money, according to many Bible scholars, than he did about heaven and about hell. And, of course, Jesus was our good shepherd. Joining me tonight to talk about this is Roxanne Endermule of His Faithful Stewards. We're going to talk about how Jesus wants to shepherd us with our money. And, Roxanne, to me, that's an interesting angle, connecting Jesus as the good shepherd with the stewardship of our resources.
Yeah, well, you know, most of us know Jesus as a good shepherd of our lives and our souls, and we think about how he's led us to where we live and where we work and to important people in our lives. But I think a lot of times we forget to stop and think about how he wants to shepherd us with our finances.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. 855-586-LIFE is our toll-free number. That's 855-586-5433. And tonight we are live, and our thanks to the whole team that worked diligently last week. We had technical problems that led us to have to run a backup program, a standby program. And thanks to my son, Brent Hawkins, who provided the technical expertise this week in consultation with a couple of other guys. And we're so thankful we're back on. We had Brad Smithart and Keith Mayo and a great team of people here tonight working with us as well. Chris and Cora and Donna and Danny. And so, friend, we'd love to hear from you, 855-586-5433. And, of course, if you'd like to learn more about His Faithful Stewards and the free video series they put together, HisFaithfulStewards.com is the website. They have short 3 to 5 minute educational videos on a variety of topics around finances and retirement, and they send one out each week for free. So you can sign up for those on the website at HisFaithfulStewards.com. Back to our topic, we know from the gospel records, Jesus spent his ministry years living a very simple life. Now, it does say that Jesus had no place to lay his head, meaning he didn't have a permanent home. He lived a transient life. But when we look at Jesus living, going place to place, a transient life, not having a real home, do you think, Roxanne, that he was calling on all of us, his followers, to live the same way?
Well, I actually think we have to look at the apostles and Jesus' other followers to answer that. I mean, if Jesus was calling all of his followers to live that way, I think we would have seen all the disciples embrace that lifestyle after Jesus ascended back to heaven. As it is, many of the disciples stayed living in Jerusalem, at least until the persecution under Nero came about. Paul is the only one of the apostles that we know traveled extensively. So I don't think we can conclude that Jesus was calling all of his followers to live that way.
And even though Paul was traveling extensively in the first century, even back then, travel was not an inexpensive thing for a person to do. So do you think Jesus' transient lifestyle was connected to his purpose?
Oh, absolutely, I do. I mean, Jesus was traveling around to bring the kingdom of God to the lost sheep of Israel. The sheep were scattered, so Jesus spread out to reach them. He was their shepherd, their good shepherd, and he did what he needed to do to fulfill his life's purpose and reach his sheep with the kingdom of God.
We have a lot more to talk about with Roxanne Endermule of His Faithful Stewards. Again, her website, HisFaithfulStewards.com. Check out what videos are available there, and we'll be right back on Encouragement Live.
That unwanted vehicle of yours might not take you anywhere, but it can drive encouragement and hope to listeners everywhere. Donate it to Encouragement Live and we'll pick it up, even if it isn't running. We'll use it to fund this ministry. It's easy and free. Mention Encouragement Live when you call 855-500-RIDE. Get the eyesore out of your yard and donate that car today. Call 855-500-RIDE or encouragementlive.org.
Following the brutal, horrific Hamas attack on Israel, Israeli soldiers fighting ruthless terrorists and Israeli children need help for emotional trauma.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life, hope, and blessing. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, along with Compedia and the SEAL Future Foundation, extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families.
Stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at blessil.org to counter trauma. That's blessil.org. We are back on Encouragement Live tonight, and we are live. 855-586-LIFE is our toll-free number. Talking with Roxanne Endermule of His Faithful Stewards. Their web address, hisfaithfulstewards.com. They have a series of free and short videos about investments, about retirement, those kinds of things. Check that out. And we are talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd and how that connects with our stewardship of our resources. Roxanne, you talked about Jesus and the transient ministry, but it does sound like Jesus set the example of a life focused on fulfilling God's purposes, and he did make whatever sacrifices were needed to accomplish that purpose. Is that how you would see it?
Yeah, and I also see the Good Shepherd setting the priorities. Hmm. In his case, to fulfill his role as the Good Shepherd, he needed to be mobile and live simply. So he shows us the priority must always be following the Lord. It's mission first. And interestingly, Jesus never drew attention to his own finances, even though he taught a lot on the subject.
And it's interesting, he did have a treasure among the 12 disciples. I'm not sure we want to go down that road and talk about Judas Iscariot. But let's talk about some of the ways that you see Jesus shepherding his people in regard to finances.
Well, just looking at Jesus' lifestyle, we have the example of mission first. Hmm. I mean, he didn't build his mission around the money, but he set himself to fulfill God's call on his life, and he took the finances that God provided for that. So I think there's a lot of people in ministry who have already embraced that lifestyle, but the idea of mission first doesn't just apply to those working in Christian ministry roles. All of us are called to live out God's mission to reach the world with his good news, and that's the purpose for every believer.
And it seems to me that our time, our talents, and our treasure need to be prioritized mission first. So how do you see a person living mission first, for example, who is working at a secular job? Maybe they're in a business or working in a factory or selling cars or something like that.
Well, I actually think it's all about the relationships and making choices that protect the impact we have through those relationships. I mean, we treat those around us with respect and dignity. They've been made in God's image just like us, and he loves them. It doesn't matter their financial standing, their race, their culture, or their political affiliations. I mean, we're called to keep the mission of reaching the world with the good news as the most important thing. And we do that by building and protecting relationships and living a life of love.
Sounds like the Great Commission, the bottom line in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth," and told us to go and make disciples of all nations, evangelizing, of course, baptizing them, then instructing them to observe all the things he had commanded. And, of course, he promised to be with us. Now, how do you see finances fitting into this, Roxanne?
Well, when we're living mission first, we'll seek to use our money in ways that won't drive wedges between us and the people that God has put in our lives for us to influence. I mean, if a person is a professional, to keep the respect of those around them, they may need to dress professionally. They need to act like professionals. I mean, this isn't to make themselves look good, but to have the respect needed to impact those around them. And, you know, it's always possible that the Lord may call them to do something outside the norm, and that's okay too. But generally speaking, I mean, Paul talked about becoming all things to all people.
And we're going to come right back and pick up on that with Roxanne Endermule right after this time out. Following the brutal and horrific Hamas attack on Israel, Israeli soldiers who have been fighting for months against ruthless terrorists in Gaza and children all over Israel suffer from significant emotional trauma and insecurity. They need help. They need the skills and tools to heal from their trauma-based fears and anxieties.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life. It's Chai, a word that echoes hope and blessing. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, along with Compedia and the SEAL Future Foundation, extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families, offering trauma assistance during these challenging times.
You can stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at blessil.org. That's blessil.org, providing crucial training and support to counter trauma.
Donate now. Be a blessing.
Sat 7 is Satellite Christian Television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat 7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in a people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We're back on Encouragement Live, and by the way, the music you're listening to, produced by one of our colleagues, Brad Smithart. You can Google him to find out more of his respectfully listening, easy listening music that he's produced, Brad Smithart on Google. Roxanne Intermule of His Faithful Stewards is with me tonight. And Roxanne, we were talking about how finances fit into living mission first. And you talked about if we do that, we'll use our money in ways that won't drive wedges between us and the people that God has put in our lives. Could you pick up on that and help us continue to develop that?
Sure. One of the things that comes to mind is like Paul talked about becoming all things to all people so that he might reach them for Christ. So he's talking about becoming like the people he's called to reach. So for us, it's the same thing. It brings that driving question. What choices do we make through our work, our finances, and our lifestyle that will have the most impact for the kingdom of God? And that's what it looks like to keep mission first.
Now, we have a story in Matthew 19:16 about a rich young man who came to Jesus and asked him how to obtain eternal life. Talk about how the good shepherd handled this man.
Sure. I mean, first, Jesus starts with the easy stuff for this guy. I mean, he'd made godly behavioral choices, you know, throughout his life. And so Jesus starts by laying out the things the guy's already done well. But then Jesus zeroes in on his heart, and he challenges him to give his money to the poor and to follow Jesus. But the man was wealthy, and so he went away sad. We see Jesus being the good shepherd to this man by addressing the issue of his heart, which is money. To the man, it was more important to maintain his comfort and his standard of living than it was to follow Jesus. And Jesus loved him too much to let him get away with that. So he addressed that idol in his heart.
You know, I think about the scripture that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Scripture has some pretty pointed things to say about that, don't you think?
Yes, and so we need to understand that money is a tool that the Lord uses, but it's not the treasure. Jesus and his kingdom are our treasure. So if we're like the rich young man, we see money, you know, as its own treasure and an end in itself. If we adopt Jesus' view of money, we'll see.
Yeah, very important that we draw that out. Let's go back to the principle that you would draw from that story. And apparently we have somehow our connection with Roxanne Intermule has been broken, and I'm going to ask our producer, Danny, to come in and help us reestablish our connection with Roxanne. Those things happen in live call-in radio, and our toll-free number, if you're trying to get through to us, is 855-586-5433. Again, that's 855-586-LIFE. Want to mention once again, though, that His Faithful Stewards is offering a free video series with short 3 to 5 minute educational videos on a variety of topics about finances and about retirement. Maybe you're getting close to retirement and you're trying to calibrate your finances and trying to figure out exactly what to do and how to handle those kinds of things. Go to the website, HisFaithfulStewards.com. Again, that's HisFaithfulStewards.com. I think, Roxanne, that we've been reconnected now. And we were in the middle of talking about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus in Matthew 19. And I was about to ask you about what principle you would draw from this story when all of a sudden we disappeared between each other, but you're back now. Help us understand what principle we can draw from there.
Well, I think the principle we draw from that is that first and foremost always has to be our relationship with the Lord. And as I said before, too, the whole thing of mission first and the fact that we have to keep that in the forefront, and He doesn't want anything before that in our lives.
Yeah, Scripture says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Money is a tool, and you've said this many times on this program, money is the tool, not the treasure. That's a hard thing for us to understand. Sometimes we tend to see money as an end in itself, but if we adopt the Lord's view of money, we can view it as a tool and be able to use it. Now, Roxanne, can you think of some other ways that our Good Shepherd was teaching us about finances at this point?
Yeah. One day when Jesus was at the temple with His disciples, Jesus pointed out a woman who was putting a small coin in the offering. He told them that her small coin was a great gift because she was giving everything she had to live on. So I think Jesus wanted us to understand that sacrificial giving honors God.
Mm. Now, you mentioned the story about the widow giving sacrificially. Do you have some examples of how sacrificial giving may look for us today?
Well, I actually think it's easier to contrast the difference between sacrificial giving and just contributing.
Yeah.
I mean, some people approach contributing with the Old Testament idea that they have to give 10%, and if they do, that's enough. And this is a legal approach to giving that often stems from the idea of just doing what we have to do or doing the minimum. The person who's just looking to fill their Christian obligation may feel a little bit of pressure or resentment towards giving, and they give out of obligation, and it probably isn't even their favorite topic. But the person who embraces Jesus' attitude towards sacrificial giving will be flexible and open to the Lord's leading on giving. They feel joy in being able to contribute to things that further the kingdom of God, and they may even wish that they could do more.
You know, I think about 2 Corinthians 9, about verses 6 and 7 in this context, where Jesus said in terms of giving today in the New Testament, every man give according to as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, that is, you don't resent it, and you hinted at that, and not out of obligation, which you pointed out as well. But as I recall, the positive side of that was the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And it seems like that fits right in with what you're telling us there.
Yes, exactly.
Good thing for us to keep in mind. Now, do you think there's some ways that people can give sacrificially if they don't have enough money to give or don't have maybe any money to give?
Oh, sure. I mean, people can sacrifice their time, their talents, their training, anything that benefits others and promotes the kingdom of God. Maybe we rake the leaves or shovel the snow for an elderly or disabled neighbor. Maybe we volunteer for a church ministry or help out at the soup kitchen somewhere. I think the Lord just wants to see us hold everything He gives with an open hand, whether it be money, time, or talent.
Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. At a period of time when it's been about 100 degrees here in Texas, I'm not sure thinking about shoveling snow is a bad thing. I'd almost like to. And you're in Colorado where you get to shovel snow a lot more. We lived in Nebraska for a while and in Kansas City, and we had those kinds of opportunities. Now, as I recall, Roxanne, you've talked about three principles that we learned from the Good Shepherd. First, you talked about how the Lord wanted all of our choices to live up with our lineup with our purposes. He wants us to keep the mission for our lives at the forefront. And then second, you talked about money being a tool and not an end in itself. It's never to become an idol, something that we're committed to as worship. And third, you talked about sacrificial giving. Do you have any other principles you can think of that you think Jesus taught us about money?
Yeah, I also think about the time that Peter asked Jesus what to do about paying their temple taxes in Matthew 17.
Ooh, wow, there's a painful word. Nobody wants to talk about taxes, and you know, certainly not, you know, you think about some people have to make quarterly payments, and that time comes around, and then April the 15th rolls around. We don't like to talk about taxes, do we?
No. And Jesus answers by telling Peter to go catch a fish. Hmm. So imagine that. He told a fisherman to go fishing.
Good thing.
But then to open its mouth and to take out a coin to pay. And I think we see at least three principles about money from our Good Shepherd in this really short story. First, we see God provides for our needs. And in this case, God provided in a really unexpected way. Secondly, I think he's indirectly teaching us not to worry about money. And third, he's telling us to pay the money we owe.
And that includes paying our taxes if we owe. And in fact, as I recall, one of the statements Jesus made in that context was render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Now, there were some other times when Jesus directed people to pay what they owe, and I suspect that's the passage you're going to be quoting.
Yeah, it's Matthew 22 where he said, give to Caesar what's Caesar and to God what's God. It seems like a simple principle to just fulfill our financial obligations and pay what we owe. I mean, that doesn't give us a license to just pile on debt just because we can make the payments. That wouldn't be good stewardship. But it does tell us that we need to fulfill our financial obligations.
And again, as I recall, Jesus had taken a coin and showed it to those around him and said, whose picture, whose image and superscription is on this? And they had to say Caesar's. And there's where he said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what's God's. Now, if you just joined us tonight, Roxanne Intermule of His Faithful Stewards is here with me, and you can get a free spending plan worksheet from Roxanne's website at hisfaithfulstewards.com. If you will, hit the button that offers the free worksheet and then follow the prompts. You'll also be mailed the worksheet for free. And as we mentioned earlier, there are a whole series of videos there about finances and retirement. That website, again, is hisfaithfulstewards.com. Now, Roxanne, you've covered several principles about money that we've learned from the Good Shepherd. God provides. We don't need to worry. God wants us to fulfill our financial obligations. You also mentioned God's purposes for money. Remind us about those, if you will, and how they relate to some of the principles we've been talking about tonight.
Well, sure. There's basically three purposes of money. I mean, God provides money for our living. He provides us money that we can give. And then he expects us to grow the money and resources that he entrusts to us. So to live, to give, and to grow. All these principles that the Good Shepherd taught all fit somewhere inside of these categories and purposes.
I would encourage us to memorize those three words. In fact, Roxanne, I've started using those on Sunday mornings when we take the offering up at our church. In fact, I remember a pastor friend who used to say, we don't take the offering, we gather the offering. But I like using those words to talk about stewardship. God owns it all, and he's given us money for living, for giving, and to grow for the future. Friend, if you have a question for Roxanne Intermule tonight, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. And by the way, we do archive these programs, and it may be that you'd like to go back and listen again. There's a lot of rich material here on the subject of stewardship. Maybe some of you are Sunday school teachers or pastors, and you'd like to glean from this. You can go to our website, encouragementlive.org. We archive each of these programs every week, and we'll be glad to make those available. Want to mention that today is my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Kathy. We're so glad for your birthday. Roxanne, it's an anniversary of her 39th birthday, and I'm not going to say which one.
I have some of those, too.
That would not be prudent. So, and it's also celebrated her sister's birthday today. So we had a couple of good birthday get-togethers. We'll be right back with Roxanne and her mule right after this.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Now, there are a number of words that Roxanne Endermule has told us tonight that we need to remember: time, talents, training, and treasure. And those all have to do with ways that we can give to the Lord and even give sacrificially. Give of our time. You may not have money. Use your talents. There's training that God has enabled you to get. And it may be that God has provided you with some of the resources and treasure. And again, God provides. God owns everything, as we have learned and heard many times. So he gives us money for our living, gives us money that we can give, and money that he expects us to grow so that we'll be prepared for the future. Roxanne, you work with people who are looking to honor God with their financial choices. Talk about some of the ways that you actually help people with that.
Well, we start by helping people to assess what they need to live. I mean, we offer a free spending plan worksheet on our website that helps people break down their monthly cost of living. It helps them to see if there are important things that they're missing or if there's things that they're paying for that they don't need. It helps people to start with a clear picture of their situation. And these worksheets also help people to evaluate for themselves how their giving is going.
And again, these are free. You can get a free Spending Plan Worksheet. Try saying that backwards. Spending Plan Worksheet. It's available from Roxanne's website. That's hisfaithfulstewards.com. That all runs together. Just hit the button that offers the free worksheet. Follow the prompts, and you'll be mailed the worksheet for free. That's, again, at hisfaithfulstewards.com. And, Roxanne, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention those videos. Those are fairly short videos, so you're not going to be seated for hour after hour listening to those. But they do have some very important principles, right?
Yeah, they do, and they run 3 to 5 minutes. And just to be clear, too, the spending plan worksheet does get emailed. We don't put that in the mail. Once you enter your email address, it'll get emailed to you automatically.
All right. I'm going to change my copy from mail to email. I'm putting an E on there, and that way we'll have that. Now, it does sound like the spending plan worksheet covers those first two purposes for money, to live and to give. But you also do a lot, I know, to help people with the growing their money for the future. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I work with growth strategies that have averaged annual growth of 8 to 14% over the last 10 years, and they're protected from risk of loss. That means that there is a contractual guarantee that they'll not lose their money in a market downturn because we don't put the money in the stock market. And the last 10-year averages have actually been stronger than a lot of people's accounts that were in the market, especially because we don't have to factor in losses and making up losses.
That making up losses, a lot of people in the market have had to do that from time to time. How do you decide what investments you will personally work with?
Well, I have three criteria that a company must pass before we'll work with them. The first one is related to how the company makes their money. As far as I can find and as big as I can deep, they have to be biblically responsible in how they grow money.
Hmm. Now, what kind of things do you look for to see if they're actually being biblically responsible? Help us understand that.
Well, one of the big things is that they are not invested in some of the biggest investment companies that make their money in ways that would not be honoring to the Lord.
Yeah. Talk about some of the ways that investment companies might go against what Scripture teaches about money.
Okay. Well, for example, one of the biggest and strongest investment companies out there routinely makes investments in third world countries in ways that undermine that country's economy and keeps them poor while funneling their money back to the United States. I personally don't think that's honoring to the Lord to take the resources that he's given entrusted to us and use it to hurt the poor. This same company also invests in things that have hidden ties to things like human trafficking and other immoral ventures with their only concern to be making money. So I steer away from any company that works with these bigger, unprincipled companies.
I would think gambling would fit into that, and there's a huge amount of money invested in that today, right?
Yes. So, that as well.
Yeah, keep that in mind. Now, you mentioned there are three criteria that a company needs to meet before you'll work with them. What are the other two?
Well, the second is based on the last 10 years of performance. Before I'll work with a company and bring them business, they must show averages of 8% or more over the last 10 years or so. Some have gone up to as much as 14%. And then the third criteria has to do with the company's financial strength. The companies that I work with not only have high ratings with the standard rating companies, but they must also have strong ratios with a rating company that looks at ratios.
Now, what do you mean by ratios? That's a concept that maybe some of our listening family may not have heard or may have heard but don't understand.
Well, sure. And I was in the financial industry for several years before I even heard of it. So companies, they want to maintain those A ratings with those standard rating companies that everybody looks at. A standard rating company will look at the company's resources and the company's obligations as part of their ratings. But companies have a little trick that they do to keep their ratings high. So when they start to get more obligations than they have resources that will sustain that A rating, they create an offshore entity and they move their obligations over to it. Then the standard rating companies no longer see that, those ratios, and then they just continue to assign strong ratings. But there's many large, well-known companies that have horrible ratios.
Oh, so is there a way where you can see the real strength of a company? How do you do that?
Yeah, there's one small rating organization that looks at all of the obligations and resources of a company, including all of those offshore entities, and they evaluate the companies based on the true ratios, not just on what they have here at home in the U.S. Now, these ratios give us a much better picture of how strong a company truly is. With these ratios, many companies with A ratings and huge claims of financial strength are exposed as having horrible ratios that mean the company could begin to default at any time. So my third criteria is that a company's ratios must be in the strongest 25% of the companies in the nation before I'll bring them business. And the ones that I do most of my business with are in the top 10.
Good thing to know. And if you'd like to learn more, the website to go to is hisfaithfulstewards.com. That's hisfaithfulstewards.com. And I know that some of you in our listening family have reached out to Roxanne, and you've discovered a very trustworthy situation for you to find out more about how you can move ahead. Now, Roxanne, your three criteria for the companies you work with, just to recap, they must be biblically responsible, that is, as much as you can tell. They have averages that are over the last 10 years of 8% or more. And third, they must be financially stable as determined by their true, genuine ratios. Did I get all those right?
Yes, you absolutely did.
Okay, I got 100 on that. Always good to do. Again, His Faithful Stewards is offering a free video series. These are very short videos, 3 to 5 minutes, but they're educational. They'll enlighten you on various topics around finances and retirement. Many of the things that we've talked about in depth with Roxanne tonight, they will give you bite-sized insights into these. And Roxanne sends one of these out, her company does, each week, and they're free. Don't charge you anything. There's no obligation. So you can sign up to get them on the website at hisfaithfulstewards.com. Roxanne, we all get a lot of things we're invited to sign up for. But to me, to sign up to learn how to manage our time, our talent, and our treasure to fit into that living and giving and setting aside and saving would be very worthwhile, don't you think?
It does, but I will tell you, the videos are a little more financially focused. We don't produce them ourselves, so they're financial education, and they don't have the biblical focus on them yet at this point, because we'll have to develop our own before we can actually pull that
in. I think one of these days you will be able to do that, but I think this great video series, again, they do have the financial insights, but it does sound like you've got some strong investment options here. Are there some other ways now that you're helping people with stewarding their money?
We have a specialty trust that can help self-employed people reduce those self-employment taxes by over 90%. It can eliminate capital gains taxes and other kinds of passive income taxes as well. We believe that it is much better for a believer to be giving to causes that support Christ instead of paying high taxes to the government.
Now, you mentioned something about gold and silver on the program before. Can you tell us a little bit about why you're working with gold and silver?
Yeah. I think about gold and silver kind of like insurance. When there's a big drop in the stock market, gold and silver will typically increase in value, and vice versa. Kind of think of it like a teeter-totter. And gold and silver never loses all of its value. It's important to have the right kind of gold and silver, though. I mean, some people have gold bars, and those are really difficult to sell because, honestly, there's a lot of counterfeits out there, and so nobody ever wants to buy them back. And so they have an and then there's other people that actually have investment accounts that say they have gold and silver on paper, but they don't have the actual gold and silver. So that would be like getting onto the Titanic and being given a choice between getting a life vest or a paper that says you're entitled to the life vest and being happy with the paper.
Wow, now that's a graphic illustration. In other words, and I would suspect there may be some people who have invested in gold and silver, and they have a piece of paper that says it's being held for you at X location place. And that illustration about the Titanic kind of says that you may or may not have anything that's worth more than the paper it's written on, right?
Yeah, that can very much happen, and if you don't actually have the physical product, it's much more difficult if, you know, things were to get rough to know how to get to it.
Yeah, now it does sound like, though, that the gold and silver you're talking about that you work with people to occasionally use maybe as a hedge actually gives people a tangible asset that they own.
Yes, it does. I mean, the company I work with only provides pre-1933 gold and silver coins. They sell the actual coins. And the value of that is that pre-1933 coins don't have to be reported to the government, so they never get issued a 1099 for taxes, and they're sold on the basis of their precious metal value. And the company guarantees to buy back coins at market value anytime someone wants to sell them back.
So in other words, they could very well go up in value, and if the market value is there, they would be willing to purchase them at a higher rate than what they paid, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
That's something you may want to check out, friend. Remember, the free video series offered by His Faithful Stewards with those 3 to 5 minute short educational videos on a variety of topics around finances and retirement. They issue one each week at HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Do you have an extra car taking up valuable space in your driveway? Let Encouragement Live take it off your hands. It's easy, free, and best of all, tax deductible. Get your driveway back and keep Encouragement Live rolling so more people can bridge the gap between their faith and everyday life. Mention Encouragement Live when you call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-RIDE or encouragementlive.org.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
We're back with Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com. We've talked about the free video series, 3 to 5 minute educational videos. We've talked about the issues related to retirement. But Roxanne, I've heard you talk about a strategy for younger people. Can you remind us of how that works?
Yeah, we help younger people set up a cash reserve that remains mostly liquid. It has no access charges. It will also grow to create a tax-free income for retirement. The beauty of this strategy is that the interest grows on all the money that's been put into it for storage, even if some's been borrowed back out. So it's a trick that the wealthy have been using for generations. It makes money work in more than one place at a time.
That is an intriguing thing, and some of you younger people may want to find out more about that. 855-586-LIFE is our number, 855-586-5433. Kenzie is listening tonight in Texas. Go ahead, Kenzie. You're on the air with Roxanne.
Hi, Roxanne. This is Dawn Hawkins' granddaughter. And
Hi.
I just had a few questions. You made a few very good points about the gold bars versus the gold silver. And currently I am trying to work on a book, a children's book called Here I Am, Sam. And it's about, you know, the book of Sam and his struggles with, like, understanding God and you know, existentialism and things like that. And being promoted to want to really write that book, but also wanting to publish my own poetry because I am my grandfather's, you know, granddaughter. So,
and that you are.
Yeah. So I just really wanted to know how to differentiate those gold and silver bars from the golden bars, you know.
You mean the how you differentiate between gold, the true gold and silver bars from counterfeit? Is that what you're asking?
Right. Like, so the children's book that I want to write versus my poetry that I want to publish. Like, how do I prioritize those things?
Good question.
I think I lost little bits and pieces of what she was saying.
I think Kinsey is talking about, she wants to write this book, Here I Am Sam, and it's going to deal with probably the true riches. You know, Jesus did talk about true wealth as opposed to the wealth of this world. And then she has some of her poetry, which I would think, Kinsey, I'd be representing it. That's kind of your expression of yourself, right?
Right, exactly. And sort of remaining true to myself, but also understanding that this is a calling, and I genuinely want to write this book. I have the storyboards down and everything, and I don't even have an idea of how I'm going to go about, you know, writing my poetry and things like that, publishing my poetry. But the Here I Am Sam thing obviously would be a very easy avenue and route to do. I already have the illustrations and things like that. I just am struggling to differentiate which one would be the golden silver versus the golden bars, you know.
Well, I would tend to lean toward the Here I Am Sam. I know poetry is something a lot of people like, but if you've got a children's book that's rooted in biblical principles and also shares the kind of values, Roxanne, that you were talking about tonight, I would suspect that maybe that would be the best starting point. Maybe you may see it that way. What do you think, Roxanne?
Yeah, I would agree with that as well.
So I think, Kinsey, that would be the place to go. And one other thing I would encourage you, I would look at it through the biblical lens. I know you've got family members, including your mother, who works very well with you on that kind of thing. And I would get her to work with you. Every writer needs an editor. And Roxanne, yeah, that's true even writing things for your website, right? And I know I'm just finished. Go ahead, Roxanne.
And I was going to say, and if you can find a Christian writers group in your area, too, that where groups that just get together like once a month and read each other's work and give each other feedback, that's just invaluable.
In fact,
I got my poppy for that.
There is a Christian writers group that's having a meeting, and I'll see if I can dig up that information and give it to you. I know your mother has some writing projects. So for some reason, Roxanne, multi-generation writing. Kinsey's brother's been doing some writing, and a lot of us seem to do writing. Kathy's got several books published, so for some reason we all spend time writing. But Kinsey, I'm going to ask Roxanne to pray for you tonight about these projects. I think that would be very helpful. Roxanne, would you lead us in prayer for Kinsey?
Sure. Lord, I just thank you for Kinsey and for her energy and her direction, and I just ask that you would give her a clarity and direct her in the best way to go and to the support that she needs around her to make happen what needs to happen. And I just, Lord, thank you for instilling that in her and giving her that vision, and I just pray, Lord, that you would put all the pieces together for her and make that clear. I ask that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kinsey. Amen. Love you. Good to hear from you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Roxanne, I want to ask you, you've had a recent change at His Faithful Stewards. I want to be sure we get that in tonight. Tell us about it.
Well, I'm actually really excited that I've been able to join with another financial strategist who has over 12 years of experience in the industry. Her name is Lorna. You can read about her on the website now. I'm just really excited because she shares all of our biblical values. She loves the Lord, and she approaches customers the same way I do, with a fiduciary mindset and a desire to help. So I think our clients are just really going to love her.
Oh, that's great. Now, I want to camp on that word fiduciary for just a couple of minutes here. That is a term that we hear in advertising, but I think it's a term that a lot of people don't understand. It distinguishes people who do something with organizations and people who don't necessarily do that, right?
Well, what it distinguishes is a fiduciary is bound to be looking out for the good of the client, number one, and not for their own pocketbook.
Yeah.
It's most often assigned to people who are actually working in the market, the stock market, and so we don't get an official title if we aren't a fiduciary when we aren't working in the market. But we can work like a fiduciary, which means we're always looking for the good of the client first.
Yeah, and to me, that's a very important principle when you're thinking about someone with your resources. And again, we're talking about the criteria that God has given us money to live on. He's given us money to give, but he's also given us money to grow. And a fiduciary typically, or someone who operates on the principles of fiduciary, is somebody who is trustworthy in that they are committed to working with the client's best interest. And to me, Roxanne, I appreciate so much your commitment to that, and the fact that now you have added Lorna to your team. And I would encourage people to go to hisfaithfulstewards.com for the other resources there, including the spending plan and the videos, but also to learn more about her and her partnership with you. And I know you've done a lot of praying about bringing her on board, and I'm excited for you about this.
Yeah, we're excited too. So I think that we're going to be able to expand and do some things that I just couldn't do by myself. So
yeah, sometimes two are better than one, the scripture says, because they have a great reward for their labor. And we'll trust God to provide that. Now, of all the things that we've talked about tonight, is there one thing as we come bring our program to a close that you'd like to make sure that people settle in their minds and remember?
Well, we've talked about Jesus being a good shepherd of our money, but, you know, the one thing I want people to take with them is the fact that Jesus does shepherd us with our money, with our finances, but he starts with our hearts, and it's always focused on the heart, and that's where his interest is that our hearts belong to him. Everything else will follow if our heart is there and we've given our heart to him.
And it may be tonight we're talking to someone who has not yet come to the place in your life where you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to make it very clear that Scripture says every single one of us needs Jesus to be our Savior and our Shepherd. And the Scripture says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The penalty for sin is death. That's in Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. But the good news is the Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep, and you can be one of his sheep by placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, the way you do that is to come to the place in your life, and you can do that right now while you're listening to Roxanne and me. And just pray a prayer like this: Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose again. I admit that I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, but I believe that your death paid the price for my sins, and I'm placing my trust in you right now. And friend, if you've made that decision to trust Christ, I would encourage you to reach out to us at encouragementlive.org, or to reach out to Roxanne at hisfaithfulstewards.com. Let us know that you've made that decision. Roxanne, I know you join me in saying there is no more important decision in life than a person can make than to place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
So we want
a decision.
Yeah.
It's a decision you will value.
For all time and for all eternity, no question about it. So friend, tonight, make that a decision that you be sure that you have made before your head hits the pillow tonight. And then let us know about it. Let us know how these programs have been a blessing and encouragement to you. In fact, you might go to Roxanne's website, hisfaithfulstewards.com, and just let her know how you appreciate the biblical stewardship insights and encouragement that she shares on this program. And again, while you're there, check out that free video series with those short 3 to 5 minute educational videos on a variety of different topics that you can find out about. And again, they're easy to watch and listen to, view. They send one out each week, and they're free, and you can sign up on the website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. Roxanne, thank you so much for taking the time to share these insights with us tonight, and blessings on you and your new partner, Lorna, as she works with you in the days ahead.
Well, thanks so much. And to you as well, Don. It's always a joy to be here.
It is indeed. Friend, we thank you tonight for your joining us for this program. And I want to encourage you tonight to take the time to worship our Lord on the Lord's Day tomorrow. Find a church that teaches and preaches God's word and where they love people, and make your presence known there. That would be a tremendous encouragement, certainly to your pastor. And then join us each weekday at this time on this radio station, this radio network. We're so glad to have you with us. Again, our website is encouragementlive.org. And you can listen to archive programs, including this one with Roxanne Intermule. And you can visit her website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. Good night.